Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
But I believe in the times that we're living in church, you know, there's this sense of you know, almost an overwhelming, you know, attack from the enemy, where the enemy is trying to do everything in his power to make the church, or make, you know, believers believe that God is not with us, that God somehow is not present, that God is somehow distant and far away, and that he's not actually here with us. He's not actually fighting the battles that we're speaking of, that he's not actually, you know, in us and around us. And so it's a great challenge, I believe, against the spirit of every believer, against the heart of every believer, to actually remind ourselves of the truth of the Word of God. How many of you know the Bible says that Jesus, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen? And the Bible tells us in His Word, church, He said, and He gave us this promise, He said, I will never leave you. And He says, and I will never forsake you. That is a promise, church. That is a promise of God's faithfulness. That is a promise of God's truth. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Think about that just for a second. Think about that for a moment tonight, and think about all the times when maybe somebody left you. Think about all the times when maybe somebody abandoned you, when there was somebody that you were hoping to count on, or somebody that you were hoping to be able to be there for you. And think about this for a minute and understand that people will leave. People will go on. Friends and family may not always be your friend. But the Bible says that the Lord will never leave you. Amen? He will never forsake you. That word forsaken is like to turn your back on. The Lord will never turn his back on you, because he loves you. You are his children. Amen? Everyone say, I am a child of God. That is the truth. We are children of the Almighty God. Amen? Isaiah 43 and verse 1 says this. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. He says, I have summoned you by name. And he says, and you are mine. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And it says, and when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. He says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. Why don't we pray for tonight's word? Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence in this room, Lord. And we just thank you, God, right now for your written word, Lord, this letter to us, God, of reminders, of promises, God, of truth, Lord. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, your vessel, God, and that, Holy Spirit, you would just have your way just ministering to us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. These verses that we just read, church, are faithful promises of the Lord to remind us that when we go through circumstance, when we go through trial, it's as if a river was raging or a river was rising. And the Lord is saying, listen, it's not going to overtake you. It's not going to sweep over you. It's not going to sweep you away. And I can imagine, church, it can be difficult, rather, to imagine a unseen God in your seen and felt circumstances. Every single one of us is real. Every single one of us is alive. Every single one of us probably has the same questions. We probably have the same feelings, the same emotions, where sometimes it feels as though God is far away. And somehow the enemy tries to creep inside of that little window of doubt to get you to believe that God is not near, or that God has not, you know, heard your cry, or that God has not heard your prayer. And so the challenge is for you and I to really know and understand that the Lord is in fact present with us. That he is present with us. The days that we have been living in, I believe, have been incredibly challenging. They've been incredibly challenging to our spirit, our soul. We've seen that things like suicide rates are up. We've seen that marriages are being destroyed by the enemy. We're seeing anxiety and depression and hurt and just all kinds of pain. It's boiling up in such a way, and it's creating such a havoc where it seems as though God is not present. God is not in the midst. And these verses, like I said, they give us an important reminder that though life may bring us high waters, though life will bring us fire-like challenges, that your God, the one who has formed you, church, the one who has redeemed you, the one who calls you by name, his promise to you and I is that you will not be harmed because he is your Savior. Amen? What a faithful, faithful promise of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 15. It says this, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. I'll read that one more time. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This scripture is telling us, it's saying Jesus, that is God's Son, is the image of the invisible God, which is the Father in heaven. That is who you have seen Jesus to be, who you've seen Jesus to walk out and live. And the things that Jesus displayed, the works that Jesus displayed in this world, the way that Jesus spoke, the way that Jesus loved, the way that Jesus brought truth, the way that Jesus cared for and had compassion for those in this world and in this earth. This Jesus, who you have seen Christ to be, is what the Bible describes to us about his life and about who God is. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The one whom we cannot see, the one whom our eyes have not beheld, Jesus is him. And though his unseen presence might be missed sometimes with our natural eyes, his peace and his love and his protection and his presence and his goodness can be seen and felt through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the beauty about having Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Because what we cannot physically see with our eyes, or maybe even what we cannot physically touch with our hands, we know that the presence of God is alive and well because he's at work within us. Amen? How many of you feel the presence of God tonight? How many of you feel the presence of God within you? Amen? When you feel the presence of God within you, it brings us assurance. It brings us, it brings us security. It brings us knowing the fact that he has not left us. Amen? That he has not, in fact, abandoned us. And so his word declares that this God, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is with you now. Amen? And even better than that, he's going to return for his people. How many of you are anticipating the return of Jesus? Amen? You know what? This world has been okay. You know, I'm not going to say it's been the worst experience, but it's just a grain of sand in the oceans of time. The Bible says that our life is just going to be it's like a mist. It's just here for a little bit, and then it's going to disappear. It's going to fade away. But the Bible says that for this mist, for these children, there is a glorious hope. There is a blessed hope that one day this God that we have put all of our trust, all of our belief, all of our hope in, he will one day return and he will take us to be with him forever. Amen. This is the most beautiful thing, church, that we can anticipate. Amen. This is the best thing that we can hope for. This is the best thing that we could ever hope for. And so I believe that those who have eyes who are fixed on Jesus, those who have eyes that are fixed on the Lord, and those who have ears that are tuned into his voice and into his word, and our hands and our feet are doing the work that he has sent us to do, he will return for us. Amen. He will absolutely return for us. But no matter how bad this world can make you feel, no matter how high the waters get, no matter how much it seems like the world is suffocating you or caving in on your life, we have this assurance that he will return for us. The enemy is fast at work in times like this, church. The enemy wants you to feel isolated. The enemy wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel abandoned. He wants you to feel forgotten or overlooked or unworthy. Amen. But how many of you know that our God is greater? Amen. Our God is greater than anything that the enemy could ever throw our way. But this is what he does. The enemy is always doing what he can to try to get you to remove your mind and your eyes from Jesus and place them on circumstance. He wants you to remove your eyes from Jesus and place them on your problems. Because when you place them on your problems, when you place it on your circumstance, all of a sudden the enemy's presence gets elevated in your life and God's presence decreases. But we have to have that prayer that John said in John 3 and 30. He said, I must become less so that he can become greater. We need Jesus to be greater. Amen. I said, we need Jesus to be greater, but how does that happen? It's when we become less. It's when we become less. It's when we say, listen, Lord, I'm not about to try to do this on my own, Lord, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Amen. The Bible says, greater is he who is within us than he that is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Amen. And I'm here to remind us tonight, church, that Jesus is coming back. Amen. That Jesus is coming back, and no matter how far from God's truth the world gets, no matter how perverted our nation gets, listen, the blessed hope is this. What you and I need to know and what you and I need to stay focused on is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Holy Bible. They call him Emmanuel, is in fact with each and every one of you now, and he is with every person that loves him and longs for his appearing. He's coming back. Can somebody say amen this evening? He's coming back, church. Romans 8 and 11 says this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, it says he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Man, that is a powerful, powerful verse. That is a powerful, powerful truth. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. If he is living inside of you, he who raised Christ from the dead, it says, he will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. I'm 38 now. I'm getting older. Somebody told me the other day that my chin looks pretty white on camera. I said, well, thank you for the compliment, I guess. And the older I get, the more mortality is a reality. Right? How many of you can agree with me tonight, right? And some of you are looking at me like I'm the young guy in the room. And that might be true, but the truth is that the older you get, mortality becomes a reality. You feel things in your body that you didn't feel when 10 years ago. Things happen in your life that didn't happen 15, 20 years ago. And every single day, we are one day closer to an eternity with Jesus. Amen. Every single day. But I love what this verse says. It says, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body because of his spirit who lives within you. That means that there's a transfer of power that happens the moment you say yes to Jesus. And the moment that you close your eyes to this world, you're living in eternity in the presence of the Almighty God. We need to be reminded of this truth tonight. Romans 6 and 5 says this, for if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, it says, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Amen? I'll read that one more time. If we've been united with him in a death like his, that means, how did he die? He was crucified. We will also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now let me remind you of something tonight. Jesus said, they will hate you because of him in you. Amen? And he also said that you will face persecution in this life. He said that you were going to face things in this life. The very same things that they did to him will be done to you. The very same things in chastisement, the very same doubt, the very same, you know, backbiting, the very same, you know, things that Jesus endured in his life and in his body will be done to us. And so here he's saying, if we've been united with him in a death like his, we're not going to leave this world in glorious fashion when it comes to our earthly bodies, when it comes to these things. You know, how many of you know that we live with the armor of God, right? We have the armor of God in our heart, in our life. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Your armor is not going to be shiny when you leave this world, church. I said, your armor is not going to look brand new. It's not going to look perfect, but rather it's going to be beaten up. It's going to look like you've gotten out of a war. It's going to look like you've gone through battles, amen? It's going to look like you've been fighting. It's going to look like it's been tainted and tattered. It's going to look beat up. It's going to look, you know, all these things. But listen, the moment that you close your eyes to this world, all of it changes. Every single thing changes. And it says, we will certainly be reunited with him in a resurrection like his, where death can no longer hold you down, where the grave can no longer hold you captive to this world. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This world is a pretty big test, amen? This world is a test of your faith. It's a test of your trust in God. But how many of you know he's given us an open book? Amen? He's given us this word. He's given us this truth, church, that you have access to day and night. You have access to the presence of God at any moment. You know, there's people, there's countries right now in existence, church, that don't have access to this. You've got the whole thing. You've got every page. It's probably in your phone, right? Is it in your phone? It's probably on a shelf in your home. It's probably maybe even the back seat of your car. It's probably next to you right now. You've got access to this life-changing, life-giving Word of God. And there's people right now in countries, church, that have a corner of a page of the Word of God. They're living in societies where the Word of God has been banned, where it's illegal to have the Word there. I remember years ago, the Assemblies of God did this thing called the Chinese Fire Bible. And literally, it was the Assemblies of God where they had you know, printed, you know, a bunch of Bibles, you know, in Chinese, so that they could be smuggled by missionaries into China. Because if they were found with that word, if they were found with that Bible, they could be persecuted, they could be jailed, they could even be killed. And I remember hearing stories about how that these people would be in underground churches. They would be there and they'd be praying, and all they had was just a fraction of a torn piece of paper. And it might have only had just 5 or 6 verses. It might have had half a chapter or something. And they found life from that. Just from that, just from a tiny single seed, just from a little bit of the Word of God. I don't even know what page it was. All I know is that they could find Jesus from it, church. We have so much access, and yet we don't even use it sometimes. We need to be reminded, though, that the Lord is with us. His Spirit is within us. His Word is with us. His presence is with us. The Lord is working in your life. The Lord is working in your family. The Lord is working all around you. But you have to put on the eyes of the Spirit. You have to put on the eyes of the Lord to be able to see His working in and around you. Because when we look with carnal eyes and things and we try to see the supernatural, we'll never be able to see it. If we look with carnal eyes, if we were like one of those soldiers looking at a Goliath, looking at the presence of this huge giant with carnal eyes, with eyes focused on a problem, we will never understand the glory, we'll never understand the goodness, we'll never understand that God is in fact with us. All we'll see is the giant. But when we look with eyes of the Spirit, when we open our eyes to see that God is in fact with us, that the Lord is in fact still speaking, that the Lord is still working, that the Lord is still doing in us and around us, church, when we open our eyes to that fact and we believe what He said, we believe what the Word says, when we open our eyes to see that, guess what? That is where the impossible becomes possible. We stop looking at circumstance and we stop looking at challenges as though, oh, well, that's it. Brother so-and-so got a bad doctor's report. That's it. That's the end of it. We need to start believing wholly in the Word of God. Amen? And we need to be reminded that He is with us. And so Isaiah 43:1, I'll read that verse one more time. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, He says, fear not. He says, for I have redeemed you and I have summoned you by name and you are mine. You are mine. The Lord gives us this specific command to not fear. He's saying through the prophet Isaiah, He's saying, listen, don't fear. Don't fear what is coming next. Don't fear what tomorrow holds. Don't fear what the enemy is trying to use or throw in your life. Don't fear. Don't fear. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? I believe it's around verse 34. He says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Because what? Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. And it's the same way with fear. He's saying, do not fear. And the reason why He is saying, do not fear, is because the Lord will never miss a chance to tell you not to fear when the opportunity to fear is present. How many of you know that He's a perfect Father? Amen? Amen. He's a perfect Father, and He's going to give you that warning that you need. He's going to give you that moment that you need where He's going to say, hold on, don't fear. And the reason He's saying, don't fear, don't be afraid, is because the opportunity to fear and be afraid is present. What we have gone through in our society in the last year or more has been largely provoked and largely pushed in such a way it's been driven by fear. It has been driven by fear. The enemy has used this vehicle of fear to push into the lives of God's people, to push in the lives of the world, to get them to go, oh my God, there's no hope. Oh my God, there's no salvation. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do. There's all they see is the walls caving in around them. And the Lord, if we look in His Word, He says, listen, fear not. I've redeemed you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be in a place where you're worried about what tomorrow holds. He's saying, don't fear. And He reminds us, church, that we were created by Him. We were formed from Him and His purposes, and that we were just like Jacob. The Bible calls Jacob, he was a trickster. That is, he was one that wrestled against God. He was one that kind of, you know, had his bouts with God. Even He calls us Israel. That is the one who was strong against God. But the Scripture is telling us tonight, He summons you and I back, and He's speaking peace over your heart. Because if for whatever reason you've chosen to embrace fear, He's saying, listen, I've called you by name. I've called you by name. He says, I am yours and you are mine. I am yours and you are mine. You have no reason to fear, son. You have no reason to fear, daughter. Because I am yours and you are mine. Isaiah 35 and verse 3 says this. I love these verses. I was reading them over and over today. It says, strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that give way. And say to those with fearful hearts, he says, be strong and do not fear. He says, for your God will come. Amen. And it says that he will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Everyone say me. He will come to save you, and then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. It says, water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, it says, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Verse 8 says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, and it will be for those who walk in that way. It says, wicked fools will not go on about it. It says, no lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. It says, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Wow. Think about this just for a second. A God who is far off would never prepare these things for the children that he loves. If God was far away, if God was somehow absent, if God was somehow distant, if God was somehow, you know, just forsaking his people, he wouldn't have done any of these things. He wouldn't have prepared any of these things for you. But if he has your heart, church, if he has your heart, it's you that will walk on that highway that is prepared for the righteous. It is you that will be there. The enemy cannot tread on the paths that God has established for you. I said, the enemy cannot tread on the paths that God has established for you. As the scripture says, it says, where the enemy once lay, God has brought forth new growth and new life. If your carnal eyes are looking at the world, you won't see the new growth, you won't see the new life. You won't see what God is actually doing amongst you. You won't be able to fathom, you won't be able to understand that which God has been doing around you. And so we cannot be discouraged, church, by what the enemy wants us to think he's accomplished, because those are just lies. Amen? We can't be focused on any of those things, but as children of the Most High God, as believers in God, we can find peace in the fact that he knows your name. That he knows your name. I don't know about you, but it brings me joy. It brings my heart joy to know that the God of this universe would know my name. That I am not forgotten. That I am not overlooked. That I am not somebody that's been swept under the rug. But the God of this universe knows my name and he knows your name. Malachi 3 and 17, the Lord Almighty says, they will be mine. They will be mine. It says, in that day when I make up my treasured possession, he says, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. The Lord will make you his forever and for eternity. Amen. But we've got to hang on to get there, church. We've got to stay steadfast to see that happen. Amen. Ask yourself this question. What are you afraid of today? What has the enemy been taunting you with? I believe that no matter what that thing is, we can declare over our lives today that we belong to the Lord. Amen? No matter what is surrounding you, God is with you. Amen? And on that path, no devil can follow, because this is the word of God. How many of you need the peace of God in your life? Amen? Man, we need the peace of God in our life. The peace of God is this perfect place where the Lord just somehow gets us to. I wish I understood it. I wish I had better words for it. But if you want the peace of God in your life, if you need the peace of God in your life, then stop trying to understand how God's going to get it done. You see, that's what trust looks like. If my kids tried to understand how we paid all the bills and how we got everything done that we do every day, you know, their little minds would probably just go, how do you do all that? And as children of an almighty God, it's not up to us to try to make sense of how God is going to do something, but rather place our trust in Him that He's just going to do it. Amen? If I could make sense and wrap my mind around how somehow God's going to resurrect those who have died in Christ before and how He's going to resurrect those of us who are still on this earth, how He's going to do all of that at once, my mind will blow up. There's no way I could even come up with a plan anything near what the Lord can do. And so, church, we have to understand this, is that you don't get the peace that surpasses understanding until you give up your right to understand. When you stop for a second and you stop trying to understand, you stop trying to question God, you stop trying to ask why and how come this is going the way that it is, Lord, or how come this has happened the way that it is, listen, you will not ever find peace doing those things. It's when you give up that right to understand. You remember the scripture that says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know the plans that God has for us. It's never been seated on the hearts of men. It's never been put in the hearts of men to know the things that God is preparing for you and I. And so trust brings peace. Trying to understand will build a wall to where you will never be able to access the peace of God in your life. And maybe some of you tonight are at that very juncture. You're at that very point in the road, is that you keep trying to understand the whys of your situation when God is just saying, believe. God is simply saying, believe. Stop trying to understand why and simply believe in Him. When you keep trying to make sense of when God is saying, you know, this or what God is saying and all that stuff, listen, you just need to have faith in Him. That's what it boils down to. Just have faith in the Lord. Fear gets access through doubt and disbelief. Every time that you doubt, it's like an open door. Every time that you doubt what the Word of God says, or that you doubt that God can intervene in a situation, it's an open door. It's a gateway for the enemy to walk into your life and to begin to plant seeds of fear. How many of you remember that verse? Let me find it for you. I probably will not quote it properly, so let me take you there just for a second. You remember the story in the parable of the sower, right? The parable of the four soils. And Jesus goes and He says this. I'll read it here. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, and while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and he sowed weeds amongst the wheat, and he went away, and when the weeds sprouted and formed heads, it says, then the weeds also appeared. It says, the other servants came to him and said, sir, you didn't sow good seed in your field. Where then did the weeds come from? And he says, an enemy did this, he replied. And the servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? And it says, no, he answered, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. He says, so let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now let's go back a few verses, and I want us to go to Matthew 13. And let's go to verse 18. It says, then listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and he snatches away what was sown in their heart. This seed is sown along the path. It says the seed falling on rocky ground refers to the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, this will last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they will quickly fall away. Let me keep going. It says, the seed falling amongst the thorn refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Doubt, the worries of this life, the cares of the things that you are going through, they choke out what? They choke out the word. They choke out the very thing that God has given you to be planted in you, to grow inside of you every single day. So when you doubt, when you have disbelief in God, in his ability, in his power, in his faithfulness, in his ability to do anything, to perform any kind of miracle, when you doubt, you are allowing the cares of life. You're allowing the very thing that you're fighting against to choke out the seed. To choke out the word of God, to pull that thing and basically tear it out of the ground so that it can produce nothing. And this is why a lot of Christians, they go through life and all of a sudden they wonder why they really don't feel victorious. You know, they heard the pastor say that, oh, you're victorious. They heard the minister say they're victorious. They've seen the word of God tell them that they are victorious, but they've never actually experienced victory because they keep doubting. Because they keep consuming themselves with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth makes you comfortable. The cares of this life is the uncomfortable thing that the enemy is using to wage war against the seed of God inside of you. Does that make sense? And so those two things will be used by the enemy to pull out the word of God from your life to get you in disbelief. Anybody ever felt something? Well, or better yet, I remember when I was in school, when I was in high school, you remember when they would give you immunizations and they had to do certain tests. And I remember one was the TB test. You know, they had to poke your arm and you had to get this TB test thing. And I remember, this was kind of back in the days before everybody had a cell phone in their pocket, but we still had internet access and somebody would somehow find internet access and they would search all of the symptoms. Now, I know that you're all believers in here tonight, and I know that the church, and I know that you guys will never search your symptoms on Google. But when you search your symptoms, all of a sudden you start feeling like the things that you read. Has that ever happened to you? Man, I remember there'd be kids in high school going, yeah, you know what, sir, my throat does hurt. You know what, I feel kind of, I feel a little bit this way, I feel a little bit that way. Why? Because you exposed yourself to something that you've chosen to believe in. When you take the word of God and you believe that, what happens? That grows greater and there's no room for disbelief. There's no room for doubt, amen? And so we close the door to the enemy and his operation in our life when we what? Believe. When we wholeheartedly believe in the Lord. When you stand on the faith in the promises of him who formed you, your faith engages with the Holy Spirit to make his mark on your life in that moment. And in that moment, church, he will pour out peace. He'll pour out love, joy, everything into your life, whatever it is that you are lacking, because he is a God that provides. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, got to keep moving quickly. It says, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Everyone say, he has redeemed me. He says, I've summoned you by name and you are mine. God's redemption plan, church, became available to you and I when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. when he stepped off of his throne in heaven to come to this world to be as a man, to take on the form of man. Being God, the Bible says that he humbled himself as a servant. To be crucified in a gruesome way for the sins of this world. For the sins of my life and for the sins of your life. And he did this, church, so that he could pay that debt of sin that you and I cannot pay for ourselves. Amen? How many of you know that the blood of Jesus is still powerful? Amen? It's so powerful, it's so lasting of a sacrifice that even today we can still walk debt-free in the redemption of Jesus that he has provided for us. Amen? Jesus doesn't have to get on the cross again to die. In fact, his blood is still perfect, it's still atoning, it's still redeeming, it's still ready to still save souls today. Amen? It's still that powerful. And the Bible goes on to say specifically that he redeemed you and that he has called you by name. And he's reminding you today that you are his. Amen? I remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus, when I first came to the Lord, one of the most difficult things was actually believing that this God could love me. How could a God who knows every rotten thing that I've done, who sees the condition of our heart, church? Outward appearance is, it's not what the Lord is looking at. He's looking at the heart, right? And the Lord sees the condition of our heart. He saw the condition of your heart before you even chose to look at him, before you even chose to acknowledge him, before you even chose to confess and believe in him. He saw the condition of your heart, and yet he loved you. Yet he loved you. And he loved you in such a way, church, that knowing full well that some would say yes to him and that some would say no to him, he would still go person to person to person in this world, showing them his love. Showing them how much he cared, showing them how much he wanted them to be connected to him. And for me, church, at a young age, I could not wrap my mind around this. In fact, I still can't wrap my mind around it. How could a perfect, holy, sinless, pure God, righteous God, love a world full of sinners? I don't know, but I'm glad that he did. Amen? I don't know, but I'm glad that he did. I am glad that he did. And I remember it took me a while to understand and just really, really get to that point where he says, do you believe in me? The moment I opened my heart to Jesus and I said yes to him, it was like a flood of love came into my life. And it was like a burden had been lifted off my life that I had been carrying that I never knew I even had. It was just a rush of the power and of the love of God into my life, church. And that's the beauty of who Jesus is. I remember that for me, it was understanding that yes, he could forgive. You see, the very things that you and I struggle to forget, God has forgiven. Amen? The very things that you and I struggle to forget, the way someone double-crossed you, the way someone hurt you, the way someone, you know, maybe spoke negatively and into your life, those very things that you and I struggle to forget and struggle to overlook, God has forgiven. And the very thing that we must operate with wherever we go in this time, especially in this time, church, is to be those who forgive others, to be those who love others. The very way that the Lord loves you into the kingdom is the very same way that we must love others into the kingdom. Love doesn't mean tolerance. Love doesn't mean acceptance. Don't twist the words. It means, though, that we overlook and we go beyond and we don't allow condition to determine if we're going to love somebody or not. Jesus said in John 13 and 35, he says, the world will know you are my disciples when you love one another. Amen. I believe, church, that we need to believe that people can still be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We need to believe that. We need to believe that. We need to stop writing off people and stop, you know, allowing people to just, you know, we condemn people too easily, or we judge people or criticize them too easily. And we need to begin to believe again that the God of this universe, who just the same way he called us by name, can call them by name as well. Amen. Isaiah 44 and 2 says, this is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. He says, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, he says, whom I have chosen. A few verses later in Isaiah 44 and verse 21, he says this, remember these things, O Jacob, for you are my servant. He says, I have made you and you are my servant, O Israel, he says, and I will not forget you. He says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud and your sins like the morning mist. And he says, so return to me, for I have redeemed you. Everyone, lift up your right hand right now. Isaiah 41 and 13 says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. And he says to you, he says, do not fear. He says, do not fear. He says, I will help you. Do not fear, because he's going to help us, church. Amen. In these last days that we are living in, we need to hold on to the Lord. I'll say it one more time. We need to hold on to the Lord. We need to hold on to the Lord, because our grip needs to loosen from the things of this world, and it needs to hold on and cling to Jesus. It needs to cling to Jesus, church. There is no solution that our world provides that will make you feel any better or any more at peace apart from the peace that God himself can provide. Nothing in this world. Henry Ford said these words. He says, I believe that God is managing affairs, and that he doesn't need any advice from me. It says, with God in charge, I believe that everything will work out for the best in the end. So what is there to worry about? You see, if your hope is in the Lord, then there is nothing to worry about, for he has redeemed you. Amen. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. Let's read this other verse. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. How many of you know that the Lord shelters us, church? He shelters us. Man, if you've ever been in a storm, remember just a few months ago, we had a hurricane, you know, that knocked out power and flooded streets and did all kinds of stuff. And I remember being in the shelter of my home during that hurricane. I was regretting purchasing a two-story house because it sounded like the wind was that much louder up there. And all my family was huddled up in my bedroom. We brought the girls' mattress in there so that we could all be together, because the wind got really, really strong. I mean, it got really strong. Do y'all pray during storms? I hope you do. And don't pray that it's like, just send us rain, Lord, to like pray that it chills out. But I remember I began to pray. It was probably 1 a.m. My family had already fallen asleep, and the wind was raging so bad, church. I mean, it was shaking the house. And I just remember actually saying, oh my gosh, like this Lord, this is no joke. Like, we need you to stop this. We need you to calm this down, Lord. We don't want anybody to get hurt, Lord. We need your shelter. We need your peace, Lord. And I just remember after I was praying and praying and everyone was asleep, and I kept praying till probably another 30, 45 minutes had passed by, and then I just passed out asleep. And I remember waking up again at about 4 or 5 in the morning, and the major part of the storm had already moved past us. And it was just this crazy feeling of knowing that what's on the outside of these walls could destroy us, but somehow we were under the covering and the protection of God. And the world is doing everything it can to try to destroy you, to try to destroy your family, to try to destroy your loved ones, to try to destroy your future, your hope, your dreams. But we have a God, church. We have a God that is bigger. We have a God that is a shelter that encompasses his children so that when you pass through the water and you pass through the rivers and when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. This is the God that we serve. Amen. He will guard, he will watch after, he will protect and shield us from all evil that comes our way. John 15:4 says this. He says, so remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. It says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That is when you are separate from the presence of God, church, when you are separate from his word. When you are not spending time in prayer or you're not serving him in his kingdom, you become like a tree with dead branches and no leaves and you bear no fruit. And a tree with no leaves provides no shade. A tree with no leaves provides no protection for the birds. A tree with no fruit provides nothing for life around it. There's no life on your tree or no leaves for shade, no fruit revealing God's goodness. But when you are connected to the Lord, when you spend time in his word, listening to this very word of life, when you pray, church, when you worship him, when you are calling upon the name of Jesus, when you take time to be there, you have shade from the heat. You have protection from the storm. You have shelter from all those things that come against you. Because you're what? You're connected to the Lord. Our connection has everything to do with his shelter of his presence around us. His word tells us plain and clear that difficult days will come. In fact, that is a matter of fact. But the important part to focus on is if we are connected to him, we will not drown, like the word says. When the waters rage, we will not be burned when things heat up. Isaiah 54:17 says, in righteousness you will be established, and it says, in tyranny will be far from you. And it says, and you will have nothing to fear. It says, for terror will be far removed, and it will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. He says, see, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. Verse 17 says, but no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Amen. Maybe somebody in this place has been facing tough days, or you've been questioned about your belief in Jesus. You've even been challenged by your faith in God. You've seen persecution come through the workplace or through employers or social media. You've seen hatred come at you because of your stance and belief in God. Let this reminder that Paul spoke give your heart peace today. 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Verse 13 says, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Amen. He's saying, listen, now is your time to rejoice. I spoke about it last week saying this, that now, this time, this present day that you have, the very things that you go through, you will never have another opportunity to thank God in the middle of a storm like now. Because one day when you are cast off and you are taken up to be in eternity with Jesus, that worship, that offering before God, that very thing will have no circumstance attached to it. Because everything will be perfect in the presence of heaven. Amen? Everything will be perfect in the presence of God. There will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more hurt, no more challenges, no more trials. None of those things will exist in heaven. And so now, church, today, this very moment, when it costs you something, we must give God the honor and the glory. We must rejoice that we participate in the sufferings of Jesus. John 16:33, he says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And finally, this evening, God has promised us that we will inherit, church, the promised heaven. We will inherit the promised heaven. John 14:1 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, but trust also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, but I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. This is the blessed hope, church. Jesus himself said, if I go there, I'm preparing something for you. He's already there. That means he's working right now, church, to get us there. Amen. Philippians 3:20 says this, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. He says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body once and for all in heaven. Amen. This is the blessed hope that we have tonight. As I ask you to stand to your feet, I want us to never lose sight, church. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are looking for a city that is to come. Don't get too comfortable in this world. Amen? I said, don't get too comfortable in this world. It's not your home. In fact, it's going to get much, much better when we get to heaven. Amen? What was that old song that said, when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and we will shout the victory. Amen. Father, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now, Lord, that you have spoken truth to us tonight. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, as we have heard your word, Lord, I pray that our hearts are encouraged tonight. That our hearts are filled with peace and with joy, Lord, knowing, God, that there is hope, God, beyond this world. That there is hope for tomorrow, and that is the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, right now, that even if we are, Lord, as your word says, God, if we are hard-pressed on every side, God, if we are crushed, Lord, if we are perplexed, Lord, Father, if we're persecuted, Father, we are not abandoned, Lord. And that is the truth of your word. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us, but God, you are here with us, Lord. And if you be for us, God, then who can be against us, Lord? There is nothing that the enemy could bring, Lord, to Father God, to rob us of your love. There is nothing that the enemy could use, Lord, to try to separate us from the powerful love of Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you right now, Father. I pray for your people tonight. Maybe there is somebody in the house, God, that has been wondering and questioning, God. They've been asking why as to what it is that they have been going through. Father, I pray over them tonight, Lord. I pray over them tonight, God, peace. And I pray that their heart and their mind would be settled, God, to stop asking why and to stop trying to understand. But Lord, they would just receive your peace, Jesus. They would receive your peace, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for them right now, Lord. That God, even in the midst of their trial, Father, they would begin to rejoice, Lord. They would begin to offer you up, God, such, Lord, worship, God, such praise, God, something that costs them something, Lord. Worship that costs them something, God. A sacrifice of praise that costs them something, God. Because God, if it hurts, Lord, if it's difficult, God, if it's a challenge, Lord, then Father, we know that you're there, God, and you will pass us through that water. You will pass us through that river, God, and that fire, God, will not burn us, Lord. This is the truth of your word tonight, Lord. And so, Father, I pray over your children tonight, Lord Jesus, that though the heat has come, they will not be burned. That though the waters rise, Lord, and the challenges come against them, Father, they will not drown, Lord. You are our shelter. You are our peace. You are our deliverer, Lord. You are our redeemer. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. God, we thank you for your presence in this room, Lord. Father, I pray that we are reminded every single day, Lord, that you are with us. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a mighty praise tonight, church?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.